Y'all wanted to keep singing, didn't you? We will continue that in just a few moments. Good morning. Hello, you beloved community. Good to see you all today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, and we are so glad that you're here in person, watching online, sharing with us that way. Thanks for your presence today. And by the way, Happy New Year. Today is, as many of you surely know, is the first day of the new church calendar. It is the springboard for what we will do the next 52 weeks as we sit through and walk through and run through a whole host of whatever may come. Today is also the beginning of Advent, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day, when we will once again celebrate the Emmanuel, God with us. Hopefully you picked up a bulletin as you walked in this morning. You will need it during our service. If you do not have one, as we stand in a few moments to sing, you can grab one from the lobby. The perceptive among us will notice the bulletin is in a little different format. And while some people welcome such a change, others, like myself, get a little anxious whenever we try something new or foreign. The newness you see listed is the exact order and plan and even the words we will use during today's service, all sorts of prayers and scriptures and songs written out for in advance for us to follow. At some other point, I will share with you why I preach the way that I do, writing out all my words in manuscript form, but the short version of it is because I can read better than I can memorize. And when my script is in front of me, I feel like a much more natural preacher. That's also true when it comes to writings I read. Words that are spoken, that someone else speaks, I easily lose track of them, gone with the breath that exhales out of their mouths. When I want to revisit something they said, it's hard for me to recall what was spoken. Maybe you experience that as well. But when it's written, a poem, a story, a book, a letter, a psalm, a Sunday morning worship bulletin, I can return to it as often as I'd like. Even if I forget the tone with which the person said it, when I reread it, I can at least make it my own. That's why we have the bulletin as it is today and for the next three Sundays through Advent. You can take these home and revisit them as often or as little as you would like. Better still, these words during Advent are not my own that you get to borrow for a time. They are not yours. You did not type out the bulletin. These words are ours. And this small and stunning community gets to share them as one collective body rather than many. Our prayers, our songs, even our sermon, the title of which is listed, we gather around them today. More so, we gather around the Christ who is promised yet again. And that, my friends, leads us to worship. You see some cards up on the screen. If you'll grab some of those, please. The blue ones letting us know you're here. The yellow ones to send out some encouragement this holiday season. The pink ones there, if you have some kind of prayer request or need, you can make that known to our shepherds, place all those in the offering plate a little bit later in our service. Some of you may recognize this little character up on the screen. That is a candle. That's not the one I want. This is the one I want right there. Some of you may remember this guy. When we were solely online, and I was literally preaching to my cell phone last Advent, right over there, we did something called the Hidden Jesus. This little character, I think, is actually Elijah, but we call him Jesus during the Advent season. Last year, we hid him somewhere up on that wall, somewhere on the table, and hopefully in your computer screen, tablet, whatever you're using, you could find him. And we did this as an exercise to remind us that we are always looking for Jesus. Where is he? What is he doing? What is he up to? That's why we did this. Well, I'm pleased to announce that the Hidden Jesus is back, and I'm also pleased to announce that we have a much bigger space to work with. It's going to be a lot harder. I'm doubling down this time. So, Hidden Jesus is somewhere in this room. After I light the candle in a moment, and while we stand and sing, if you want to walk around the auditorium to try to find it. You can do that. I assure you that is just fine. During Advent, we will light 4 different candles, 1 per week, until all 4 burn together. Today's candle is the candle of hope, existing as a reminder of our secure assurance, a trust placed in a trustworthy God. Let me do that now, then we'll read together. Now I invite you to stand, please. You can follow along in your bulletin if you would like. Your words that you speak are in bold. If you choose to follow up on the screen, your words are in yellow. Let's do this together, please. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Almighty God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Let no one who looks to you be put to shame. My God, I put my trust in you. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. My God, I put my trust in you. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Let's sing together.
Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright host of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory. glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Take our load of guilt away. In the work of thy beginning, bring us to eternal day. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure, unspotted may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, joy, and praise.
Please be seated. Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 14. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. You will join me in the prayer of adoration, please. I will read the part in red if you will respond with the yellow. God, you promised through Jeremiah that a righteous branch would spring up from David's line. Right from the first, you planned for us the joy that Jesus would bring. And this is the name you gave to the branch: the Lord is our righteousness. God, you sent your son Jesus to bring with him justice, to bring righteousness to the land. This is the name you gave to the branch. God, you gave your people signs that they would be rescued and live in your care. This is the name you gave to the branch. God, we adore you for keeping your promises. Jesus, the branch of David's line, came to reveal your purposes, and this is the name you gave the branch: the Lord is our righteousness.
O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good, the blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. O give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Before Dick comes and reads our next scripture for the morning, I want to invite our elementary age and younger kids to head to the Roots table. And Miss Brandy has a lesson and activities planned for you. Dick?
Good morning. I'm going to read a passage to you that has some difficult to understand statements in it. It reminds me a great deal of 2 Samuel chapter 7, where the Lord reveals to Nathan what's going to happen with David and David's eternal house. That too is a difficult passage for us to understand, I think because it moves between the present tense and the future tense so frequently, as does our passage today. So I think if we focus on the sure word of the Lord, trust in his faithfulness and his promises, we may be able to understand the passage a little more clearly than we would otherwise. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great joy and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
A prayer of confession based on what Dick read to us. Thank you for doing that. He will again respond with the yellow. Lord, have mercy on us. We are not ready for your coming. We live in sin as though there were no justice. We live in fear as though there were no grace. Forgive us, Lord. Show us your mercy and steadfast love. Lead us in your truths. Teach us in your paths. For you are the God of our salvation. Amen. I invite you to a time of silent prayer. Our prayer of confession and our prayer of silence leads us now to pray for others with a prayer of intercession. So again, I will read the white if you will respond either in your bulletin in the bold or the yellow that you'll see up on the screen in a moment. Let's pray again, please. Merciful God, you call us to goodness and lead us on right paths. You encourage us with signs of your coming and urge us to keep watch that we might greet you with heads raised high when you come to restore all of creation. Watching and waiting, we therefore pray for this world that needs your saving power. For the hurt all around us, some of which we ourselves feel, some of which we ourselves contribute to, Lord, save us. For all who suffer from violence in the streets or in the home or in the mind, Lord, save us. For all who live in worry or fear, Lord, save us. For those who have forgotten the ways of righteousness, even us, Lord, save us. For those who have lost hope or never had it at all, Lord, save us. We pray, too, for your church in the world that we may increase in wholeheartedness for you and your children and work in confidence for your coming reign. Now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us ever more faithful that we may greet you in confidence and joy on that great day through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
sorry, I was coloring. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 through 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Let's pray together, please. O God, who comes to us in all sorts of ways, come to us now and here, and also come forth through preaching, through which I pray for that gift today. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. On Wednesday, November 10th, the temperatures hit the mid-80s in Houston, and I was sweating while Antonio and I moved furniture around this building, and I later wore shorts that evening to reach to teach our tutoring and mentoring program here at Southwest Central. Earlier that same morning, I was writing a sermon based on Mark's gospel, but I had reserved some time to begin considering our Advent season, sketching out a potential plan for our congregational gatherings during the month before Christmas. I opened the lectionary website that I use, read through all the scriptures for all 4 weeks of Advent, took some notes, jotted down a few ideas. Maybe it was the fact that Mark held my creative interest at the moment, or that I knew that I would soon be sweating through my shirt that I was wearing as I moved a few couches. Maybe it was the temperature outside, but I confess to you that the baby Jesus was just about the furthest thing from my mind. It was the adult Jesus that held my attention, and I was not yet mentally nor spiritually ready to speak of Mary and angels and young shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night. I don't know if living in Vermont with its cold weather and chances of snow and fir trees and charming small towns would have helped me get into the holiday mood, but it probably would not have hurt my chances. As a preacher who plans and designs in advance, it's sometimes difficult to remain fully present in the season you are currently in when you always have to be thinking about what's next. Maybe that's my issue alone, but I don't think so. The church in Thessalonica struggled with something similar. Except their concern was not about the first arrival, Jesus' initial appearance as a rapid development of cells deep within his mother's womb, but about Jesus' second arrival. Surely that would happen at any second now, when the archangel would blow the trumpet call and the heavens would break open, and Jesus would ride in on the clouds and the dead would rise from the grave. As glorious as that second coming will be, however God chooses to play it out, and as admirable as the Thessalonian church was for longing with all their hearts for Christ to return and to build their forever home with God, whatever that would look like, Paul, in his letter to them, had a few things to say. The Lord will come like a thief in the night, he wrote to them. You don't know when it will be, so don't overly concern yourselves about the date or the time. God's got that taken care of. Belong to the day instead, to this day, to right here, to right now. Don't stare into the sky while ignoring everything else. Don't idly sit on your hands or twiddle your thumbs. Get to work. Go about your calling. Encourage one another. Help the weak and the timid, as well as those who test your patience. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Which brings us back to what Brandy read for us a moment ago. Paul, who had established this congregation in Thessalonica a few years before, but had not been back since, had sent his colleague Timothy to visit the church, check up on things, see how it's going. Timothy returned to Paul with a glowing report about their faith. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we feel before our God because of you? We cannot wait to see you again. Paul then blesses them with instructions disguised as prayer. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. In your waiting, he says, for the coming of the Lord the second time, that love that you have for each other, increase it fivefold. Let it grow by leaps and bounds. In fact, give that exact same love to everyone else, Paul says, especially those who could not care less for your house church, or who mistreat it, or who have been mistreated by it. Live well into your Christian identity. And in your work, may you be infused with strength to do so, filled with confidence in the presence of God when our Jesus does indeed arrive. This, according to Paul, is how you can remain fully present and rooted to the ground, to this ground. You are not yet buried underneath it. Nor are you yet being raised above it. You are right here, right now. Groundedness is what many of us may need this time of year, no matter if Advent has snuck up on you by surprise or if you have been anxiously awaiting its start. No matter if you scan the skies for cracks in the heavens or scan the internet for signs of the earth's doom. What we are grounded in is hope. Being a people of God, we are grounded in hope. As we remain present right where we are, unable to go any faster or any slower than right now, it's hope that gives us a solid footing. Hope in what God has done, is doing, and especially will do. It gives us courage to stand firm, to live with patience, to willingly trust God, though we see no closure, to believe that we will be okay without an immediate outcome, to live contentedly because the divine God is also the source of life, and the source knows what we need. Waiting in hope for Christ in Advent is something more than waiting for Christmas, ticking off the days until the 25th, waiting for Christ to come or to come again, requires an expectant expectation, a watchfulness, a vigilance of anticipation, though we know not when or where or in whom or in what manner Christ will show up. Such watching requires an active waiting rather than a passive one. Advent compels us to rise up on our tiptoes of faith rather than plopping down on the couch in indifference. Advent faith takes our hands out of our unresponsive pockets. Instead, we prepare ample space for the one who is on his way, which includes sweeping out in tender repentance all the stuff that does not need to be there. Advent waiting is also about the ache, this painful, often agonizing and sometimes demoralizing weight. You have felt that ache in your gut before, haven't you? Longing for God, crying out for God, joining the earth's groan for promised newness, the loneliness and sadness that accompanies you this time of year. Such hope is where our four lectionary texts for the morning have come together in matrimony, all of which have been read aloud today. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth. So remain alert and pray. And may God so strengthen your hearts in holiness. With all that we are, which our souls represent, we trust that righteousness and justice in our own lives and in the world will sprout from the ground upon which we stand. And as signs and stars and sorrows align, just so, we will aim to open our eyes at the widest aperture possible and pray, receiving as we do so the blessing of holy strength that God provides. During Advent, souls and sprouts and signs and strengths ground us right here and right now in this wild and unpredictable and scary and beautiful space between Christ's first arrival and his next one. The light from the candle of hope we hold, try as the darkness may, cannot be extinguished. Nor do we light the candle ourselves. It's lit on our behalf, and it stays lit, illuminating upon God's already but not yet presence around us. Christian fellowship, such as this one here, is a place where we can keep the fire of hope burning and let it grow stronger within us. Not in a bonfire kind of way that scorches everything, but held together candles that give us just enough light so that we can see and see each other and see the path ahead and see the Christ child who is to come to this ground, a heaven to earth motion that persists to this very day. The kingdom of God, we learn yet again, is never out of season, nor is it out of style. Therefore, church, we watch, we listen, we lift up our souls, we stay awake, watching for signs of God's nearness in this season that is ripe with surprising possibility. Therefore, church, we wait. And together we declare aloud or we type, amen. Amen. Our hope in God this Advent season leads us to the table of Christ, where Jesus is both our host and the one that feeds us. In hope, we eat the food of Christ that sustains us. And in hope, we drink from the cup that keeps on rescuing us. Thanks be to God for that. As we have become accustomed to doing, if some of you want to volunteer to help serve the bread and the cup today, you can join me in just a moment. We're going to sing a song that Caleb will read. It's Wait for the Lord. We'll sing this 5 times, Caleb, in just a moment. I'm going to pray, and then if a couple of folks want to join me up here, and then we'll sing as we eat and drink together. Let's pray together, friends. O God, who draws near in ways that we recognize and many that we do not, we give you thanks for today, for the simple bread that we will eat and share and pass among us, for this cup that we will pour and share among us as well. We give you thanks for these things, for Christ is indeed here among us, and we give you thanks for that. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen.
Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, keep watch, take heart. Wait for the Lord, whose day.
All right, you see the slide up on the screen. Now we get to give as we have been given. We have a couple of folks who walk around with an offering plate. If you have a gift or some of those cards that we talked about earlier that you want to place in there, just wait for them to pass on by, raise your hand, and they will come and take care of that. If you give online, that's great too. If you bring it to the office, that's good as well. Let's pray together, please, and these guys will walk around. Father, we give you thanks for generous hearts and for the ways that you have been generous to us. Because of both of these things, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth and right here as it is in heaven. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters I want to share with you, a couple of other announcements as well. First, you see up on the screen that next Sunday is our Missions Love Offering. We do two of these a year, one in May and one in November, and 100% of the money that we give is split right down the middle between Reggie Hiller and her work in Austria and Glenn Langston and his work among the blind. That is next Sunday. We'll talk more about that next Sunday as well as praying over them and hopefully hearing a word from them too. That is next Sunday. You can give right now, obviously, but this will happen December 5th. A couple of other announcements that you see in your bulletin, one about an upcoming children's Christmas party on December 12th. This is for the youngest children here. Elementary age and younger, and one about poinsettias. We're going to do this on December 19th. You can read a little bit more information about that in the bulletin. We'll talk about it more in the weeks to come. All right, Chelsea is going to come and talk about this up on the screen, which maybe you can see that says Megan Vaughn, and also give us one more announcement, and I'll come back up here in just a bit.
I hope you get to see the invitation because it's super cute. I'll have it framed at the shower. That being said, we get to have a baby shower here next week, in which some of you may know we have not been able to do that in a very long time. So I'm super excited about hosting this. There's several of us here who are coming together to bless the Vaughns and Megan. For next week, I'm just going to ask that you wear masks to the shower. Megan is not fully vaccinated yet and does not have that opportunity. So just to keep everyone safe, specifically her, I'm going to ask that you do that. Everyone in this room is invited. It's at 4:30 next Sunday. There's going to be plenty of food, and Jessica and her family are also inviting people. So again, come. I hope that Megan can join us. That's going to depend on a couple different things. Also, Megan's picture cannot go up on social media. So if you do come to the shower and take pictures, enjoy those for yourselves, but please do not put those on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that until the full adoption process is completed, and right now it's not completed. There's a couple more things that they are needing to go through for that. And then the second part, some of you may have heard, Alex's mom took a very bad fall last week trying to get to family's house. And in fact, it's so bad that she has broken two places in her back and has to have surgery tomorrow out of state. So this is very stressful and hard, not being able to be close with her for a lot of different reasons. So I know that's also going to affect a little bit of the shower of some families not going to be able to come in for that. So if my memory serves me correctly, I think the back surgery is tomorrow around 11 a.m. So if you can set some timers on your phone and pray for her at that time. I know that she's quite nervous. The family is as well. But again, I hope that all of you can come up here next Sunday at 4:30 and bless Megan and the Vaughns. And we are excited for this new life to join our church.
Before we're dismissed to our classes, those of which you see up on the screen, a lot of you have probably heard that our friend and brother Stanley Gay died just a couple of days ago at his apartment, very unexpectedly, very suddenly on Thanksgiving Day. And it's a grief for many of us because we have known and loved Stanley for years, since day one for me specifically, and for many of you even longer than that. We love Stanley with all of our being, and I know for a fact because he said all the time how much he loved you. We don't have any specific plans for a service yet. We'll keep talking to Stanley's family about what that will be. We'll keep you updated and notified as soon as we learn more. We're also mindful of Stanley's family, and specifically for Jesse, whom we know the best. Stanley has a big family. We know Jesse the best, and Jesse has been Stanley's roommate for 28 years. And so we know this is a significant blow for him. We love Jesse, and we're going to pray over Jesse and just the whole Gay family in just a bit. Larry's going to do that. So we'll keep you updated as to what's next. And after Larry prays, I'm going to send this out with this benediction, which I think is very appropriate for today. So if some of you who know and love Jesse want to kind of gently surround him, you can do that. I'm going to do that. So let's do that now, and Larry is going to come and pray.
Let's pray. O God, our Father, our surprise has morphed through grief, shock, and joy to thanksgiving. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of Stanley Gay to this congregation for so long. Father, all the years he's been with us, he has been fighting sickle cell anemia, a crippling disease, one that was very painful, impacted the quality of his life. But Father, it never impacted the joy that he had, the love that he had, and the love that he shared, and the joy he shared. Father, I'm thankful for the smile that he brought into our congregation, the smile that was even on his face in death. Father, we seek your blessings upon his family in their grief, and especially Jesse, who has been faithful in caring for Stanley these years. Father, we're grateful that Stanley led Jesse into our church. And Father, I pray that our church will sustain Jesse in his transition to living alone. Father, may you bless Jesse with the spirit of joy in the task in front of him, cleaning up Stanley's mess that he left behind in his unexpected death. Father, may he have wisdom and prudence in doing the things that he needs to do to help Stanley's departure be set right. Now, Father, we seek a spirit of peace among us, that your will has been done in the passing of Stanley. Your will has been done in the placing of Stanley among us. May we have confidence and hope in your continued work among us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As our benediction today, I invite you to stand. If you're already standing, you can remain standing. Here's our benediction today. Go in peace, live in love, and seek to be holy in all that you do. May the God of mercy keep you, the Holy Spirit cheer you, and Christ in glory greet you, now and at the day of his coming. Amen.